Wednesday, April 17th, was one of the biggest days I have ever spent in my 4 years and nearly 5 months in the White House. But it seems this April that I face every day as a sort of mountain to be climbed of possible achievements, if I can do it, of certain emotions. So I was up at 7:30. The headlines were relatively good. Fast GIs pull out of city. Command in Pacific briefs LBJ. And one funny one in the light of all things, LBJ popularity rises 13 points. I spent the next 3 hours working hard on my tour guide talk, my speech at luncheon, going over the guest list and trying to place each one in my mind. This last of the 3 annual beautification luncheons means more to me than nearly any social event. Mr. Pear came for a come out. I met with Nash, Liz, Sharon, Cynthia, and Jane Freeman in the West Hall on our tour guide script and made suggestions, and went over the social format with Barbara Keene. Sometime during the morning, I talked to Lyndon in Honolulu. He sounded very tired. It was some atrocious hour out there, I think nearly 6 o'clock, and he said he'd been awake since 2:30. His eyes have been giving him a lot of trouble, and he has not slept well. He sounded frustrated over the lack of progress and used the words totally unrealistic. He said he would probably return to Texas Thursday night for our weekend. I jumped at the chance to meet him there then. A little before 11, I put on my prettiest spring outfit, white Adele Simpson with the deep pink-red coat, and went down into the Rose Garden for coffee. It was a glorious golden day, and well, we deserve it after having done this twice in the rain. The garden was beautiful, and the almost 200 guests, donors, members of my committee, are of the Society for a More Beautiful Capital, are of the little group that go around and make speeches about beautification, are press ladies. I went from group to group, making, of course, a beeline for Lawrence and Mary Rockefeller, and Brooke Astor and Irwin Miller. And a little past 11, we got in buses. There were 5 buses this year, with Jane Freeman and Katie, and Nash and Sharon, and me as tour guides. Me. This year, my last, nothing could have stopped me from being one of the tour guides. I wanted to jump in and participate in every facet with everybody. We went out the Southwest Gate, and I showed them Sherman Plaza and Pershing Square. We're starting the chairs there now, just as we have in Farragut Square. A victory of sorts. Lost only one chair in the 2 years in Farragut Park. And they do give a certain style. Long Pennsylvania Avenue, Mary Lasker's 30,000 azaleas, now much larger and well-maintained, were a bright flag. And then at 12th and Penn, we showed them the first building that had been drawn back 50 feet from the sidewalk, and I described the triple row of trees that would someday line this great ceremonial avenue. And then we passed, sentimentally, at Independence Avenue and 3rd, the first triangle that I had planted in February of 65, described the great reflecting pool that will be the accent at the other end of the mall from the pool by the Lincoln Monument. It will be finished in 1970. And then, one of my prides and joys, the 447 Magnolia Solangianas and the great masses of azaleas that we planted in the fall of 65 along Pennsylvania Avenue. A major entrance to the city, a big shot in the arm to a decaying business area, and a marvelous vista of the Capitol Dome through blossoms just a few weeks ago. And then, because we were close to Buchanan, and it is certainly our major achievement, and the most people-oriented, and I knew I'd lose my audience when they stepped out of the bus, I began to describe it. The rows of broken windows when we'd begun, the grim, dull expanse of cement, that it was being turned into a place for all seasons, a playground for the children on school days and after school hours and on weekends, open to the whole community as a sort of a community center. They would find a sunken basketball court. It could also serve as an amphitheater and a dance area and for roller skating. And in the winter, a portable freezing system that would make possible ice skating. And in the summer, nozzles that would make a spray of cooling water for the little kids. We'd also find a refreshment stand and restrooms nearly finished. And about that time, we drew up at it. And everybody piled out of the buses. Sure enough, it's close to being finished. The trees are in, and they are tall. I hope I had prepared them for the fact that since it won't be finished for a few weeks yet, it is raw, and that because it's Easter vacation, the children are not here. A stage is so much more alive with the actors. However, at the foot of the bus steps, Mrs. White, the principal, was there to greet us. A sizable number of neighborhood folks, children and adults, and here the photographers took over. Brooke Astor had been on my bus, and together and equally excited, we walked around while they snapped and snapped. Would we stand over by the mound, a sort of igloo, the youngsters climb over and climb through one of Simon Briney's favorite devices. How about standing where they could get an overall picture? And now down in the basketball court. Here I could get the feeling that our guests on the bus were really impressed. This is a substantial, imaginative, innovative addition to the city. The children crowded around us, and we were a sort of Pied Piper, or more realistically, those TV cameras were. And then we piled back in the buses and drove past Capa Plaza, and I tried to create some sense of the potential there. Buchanan is a dream come true. Capa is the raw material. They would see models of both when we returned to the White House. And as we drove up the ramp to the Southwest Freeway, I pointed out some of the Mexican playground equipment and told them how it all come about, because I had taken a trip to a park in Mexico City and had been so complimentary to Mrs. Diaz Ordaz of the gay, amusing playground figures there. And when she said she wanted to send us some, I had envisioned two or three or half a dozen pieces, and it arrived in 46 flat car loads, 256 pieces, which we had distributed across the school playgrounds and the parks of Washington. Along the freeway, we showed them some of the big planting the D.C. Department of Traffic and Highways had done, and then we came to the other of the two jewels, Buchanan one, Columbia Island the other. Here, Mary Lasker had planted out 800,000 daffodil bulbs of many varieties, expected to last over a span of 6 weeks. Nature had been capricious. They'd started blooming early and all at once. There were probably not more than 20% of them left. Even so, there was a drift of gold under the trees over toward the marina, and gold and white down toward the Potomac. A total of 30 beds covering 10 acres. And I described how this is the first glimpse of that nation's capital that many people see. It's the entrance from the airport and also from the west. And 166,000 people cross Columbia Island each day. My eyes searched for Mary Lasker or her sister as I described the delight and the humor of that Saturday when I had taken some photographers and a newspaper girl. And it was the absolute height of the blooming season all over Columbia Island, and we had ended by having our own picnic in the grass with a great mass of daffodils in front of us, and behind us the glorious backdrop of the Lincoln Memorial and the arches of the bridge. I mentioned that it was Saturday, March 30th, and hope they got the idea that it was a rather special day for me. I tried to get out of Wisowski when I described how...